Now, back to the Midday Sports Zone on Sports Radio 93.1 WXKO, the Superstations.
Welcome back into the Midday Sports Zone. Russ Brown, Daniel Shirley with you. Well, that's a song that's become really appropriate for the week, David. You're good at this stuff. Because, ever since about, about 6 o'clock yesterday evening, and I've been thinking, I want to ask David where his mind is when it comes to this Nick Saban situation. I mean, this is obviously a big name in college football that has tested positive for COVID-19. He's not the first head coach that we've seen test positive for COVID-19, but because it is Nick Saban, do you think it has a different impact?
Well, so first off, my initial thought was I was going to tell you guys to play UMass by the Pixies because UMass is playing its first game this weekend.
Yes.
But then I thought that was a little too esoteric among Pixies songs and probably a little too esoteric among football conversations. So this worked out much better. I said, probably on this show months ago, we're all going to keep moving along, pretending that this is working out okay until something bad happens to Alabama. So this has been, a giant red flag among people who I think have been largely trying to ignore the massive number of postponements and cancellations, the huge numbers of players missing games because of testing positive, even when the games are still played. And now you have it happening to arguably the single biggest name involved in college football. And from all outside, for all intents and purposes, from looking at the outside, a guy who has followed the guidelines well. I mean, you can certainly point to some coaches and say, it's pretty clear these guys are not, super on board with all of this stuff and could be, taking shortcuts here and there. I don't get that about Nick Saban, and yet here we are. So to me it is, I guess you could probably look at it one of two ways. I think it is either a reminder that there is a huge problem with what we're doing right now and the only way forward is just kind of put your head down and keep marching forward, or you look at it and say, well, if it happens to Nick Saban, it can happen to anybody, and so maybe we should just stop caring at this point. I hope that is not the takeaway that a lot of people have, but it does. I have seen this takeaway from people already.
David, what does this do on the field? I mean, we know about all the off-field stuff. What does this do about the game if they play, which we don't know yet that they're even going to play the game?
Yeah, and if they play is a big question. And this is the thing that I wondered about a lot when Mike Norvell at Florida State was quarantined a few weeks ago. And I know that coaches, and particularly the ones who are doing it well and doing things right, are really trying to minimize the amount of contact that they have, or direct and certainly maskless contact that they have. But you find it hard to believe that the head coach of a football team tests positive, the AD tests positive, and yet no significant members of the team, no other coaches on staff have also tested positive. I scratch my head at how that's possible. But clearly that seems to be the conversation at this point, and that was largely what happened with Florida State. So I don't know is really the answer there. Just in terms of X's and O's, this is still a pretty veteran team with a pretty veteran coaching staff. Sarkisian has been with Saban for a long time off and on and has certainly been a head coach himself. This is certainly not the situation that you would want when you're going to play the number three team in the country. But in general, I would not suspect that Alabama is going to take this huge step back because Nick Saban is not on the sidelines. You would certainly prefer it not be for this game. I mean, I think they would go and beat the brakes off of Missouri or South Carolina or somebody no matter what. But this is certainly a little bit different game. And I think when you have a close game, and that is going to translate into certain moments that are going to be under the microscope, whether it's deciding to go for it on a fourth down or whether to kick a field goal versus punt or a play that you absolutely have to call in a third down scenario. Those are the times where that head coach really has to make a critical decision, and he makes it because the buck stops there. And Saban has made a lot of them very, very well in his career. And so if you don't have a guy on the sideline and making that decision like Nick Saban, then that's where it shows up. So I think 99% of what we would see from Alabama this week is probably not going to be a whole lot different than what we would see if Nick Saban was on the sideline. But that 1% can make the difference between a win and a loss.
David Hill of ESPN.com joining us here on the program. And David, on the field for Alabama, what the hell was that on defense last Saturday?
I think there's two things going on here. Number one is that it was a Lane Kiffin game, and I don't doubt that somewhere in the back of his mind, Lane Kiffin was preparing an offensive game plan for that moment for the better part of the last 4 years. So I think there was something very specific about that game that was designed to make Alabama look bad a little bit. You know, it was the kitchen sink being thrown at Alabama's defense because it was Lane Kiffin versus Alabama. I would say that's, to some extent, probably not a sample of Alabama defense that is indicative of the whole. But I think if you look back at Alabama's defense over the last 3 years, probably, it is not the Alabama defenses of old, and it has not been. And I think a little bit of this is attrition, particularly after Jeremy Pruitt and Kirby Smart are not there anymore, and they're really having to find a lot more talented outsiders to come in and fill those roles. I think you've had a lot of talented guys move on to the NFL early, so you're bringing in younger guys more and more. They have had a little bit of injuries. They just don't have the depth at certain key positions, I think linebacker and defensive tackle in particular. I mean, you look at that, the sort of great Saban defenses of 2011 and 2012, those teams were three deep with NFL talent at some of those key positions, and they're just not that now. And I think more so, too, you have some opponents that are not trying to play football the way Nick Saban wants you to try to play football. I mean, for so long, the entire SEC was gung-ho to try to be diet Nick Saban. They were trying to out-Saban Saban, and no one was going to do that, and no one was better prepared to game plan against his own game than Saban was. Well, now you have guys like Lane Kiffin who come in here and are more than happy to do things differently. They're going to challenge Nick Saban in ways that not everybody else will. Whether, you know, you look at LSU and how they played last year, that was, if LSU had kept playing football the way LSU was always playing football against Alabama, they probably wouldn't have looked so good. But when they take the lid off and start showing different things, I mean, it's a challenge that Nick Saban has not routinely faced in the SEC before. So this is not a knock on Saban or Alabama's defense, but I do think if the standard is what we saw from them in 2011, we're not going to see that type of defense anymore.
David, who do you think wins this game? Do you think Georgia wins?
I struggle so hard to pick against Alabama. Georgia has a lot going for it, don't get me wrong. And I think defensively, there's no doubt to me that Georgia is the better defense right now. This is going to be a huge test for Mac Jones, who has been spectacular so far. I still kind of lean Alabama. I think there's a little bit of an overreaction to what happened in the Ole Miss game on defense. I think their offense is really deep and really explosive. Georgia just lacks some of the skill guys offensively to be as explosive as I think you need to be. I mean, look, is Ole Miss better than Georgia? No, not in a million years. But Ole Miss on offense has some legit NFL skill talent that I don't know that Georgia really has outside of Pickens, who's been sort of up and down. So I give a slight edge to Alabama in their explosiveness offensively, and I think that ends up being the difference.
Well, it should be a good game. We just hope they get to play that one on Saturday. Good stuff as always, David. We appreciate the time, man. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.